Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, thank you. Let's bow our heads once again, and let's pray together to God for our time. And I will introduce myself. Gracious God, thank you for gathering us this Sunday, Lord, in this time of transition, and in some ways a time of uncertainties. God, you are good, and you are great, and in you we are secure. And I pray blessings over THMC EM, that you will continue to watch over them, protect them. And at this time, as we continue our worship in your word, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enlighten and illuminate our hearts to receive, and not only receive and to hear, but also to be able to apply your truth in every day of our lives. Lord, we are not capable of making things work in our own power or on our own merits, but you are here with us, and you will continue to walk with us. So Lord, at this time, we offer and we entrust our time to you, Lord. So Spirit of God, speak to each person and to us as a group, and lead us by your power, by the power of your Spirit. So let the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing and honorable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you once again for having me. My name is Tim. I was born and raised in Korea until I was 17, and God opened doors. So I came here. I lived in Georgia. I went to high school from 11th grade. Senior came here. Obviously, I didn't enjoy so much of the East Coast. And then I came here. I went to Biola for my undergrad. I did my theology there. And then I just graduated last year, finishing my MDiv at Talbot. And I married 4 years ago to my wife, Chayan. And our daughter is 16 months. I don't know, this is a toddler thing. Like, we don't just say, like, oh, she's a one-year-old. We have to say, like, certain months. She's 16 months, 16 and a half months old. Her name is Sharon, but her first name is actually Nael. So Na is in Korean, Na, my, and El is in Hebrew word, God. So my God, one day we hope that she will confess God as her God. So that's our prayer. And regarding Pastor John, while ago, I was invited to guest praise leader at my wife's old church youth retreat, and there Pastor John was a guest speaker. And then I was praying for a mentor figure, like, God, I want to have someone that I can talk to, that I can just get, you know, some guidance and some wisdom. And then I listened to his sermons and I talked to him. And then after the first session at night, I jumped, not literally, but I jumped, like, can you be my mentor? And then kind of aggressively, and he said, whoa, what's your name? And then he graciously offered me for the past 5-6 years. There was a point that he will meet in Koreatown. He'll buy me all the Korean foods, and I don't get that luxury anymore. But it's been great. And once again, it's so good to be here with you. And regarding my upbringing in Korea, I actually had to go to Korean Army, because I still have a Korean citizenship. So when I went to Korean Army, nobody goes there out of volunteer, you know, heart. And basically, you're forced to go there. So I go there. Half of the time, I was grumpy. I wasn't all that happy. But one thing that I enjoyed more than a lot of things I had, it was that my colleague was a marathon runner, and I'm remotely a marathon runner. But at that time, I was interested in running as a form of exercise. So I asked him, like, hey, can you teach me how to run? Like, if you think about it, like, that's not a wise question to ask, just run, right? But then I asked him, can you teach me how to run? It's like, okay, I can run with you. He offered me to run with him, so sure. And he asked me before we started running, I wasn't disciplined, and my body wasn't disciplined at all. So he asked me, like, how much can you run? And I told him, out of my ignorance, I said, probably 10K. I heard it somewhere, just that people usually do 10K. So I have no idea. I had no idea what that was. And probably 10K, sure. And he said, oh, wow, okay, let's try. And of course, as you can tell, I failed. I didn't even make it halfway, right? And then I failed, and on the way back, I was just wondering, like, so I asked my colleague, like, what was wrong? You know, my feet are a little flat. Do I need new shoes? Is that like a running shoes? Or what is it? Do I need to lose weight? I probably need to lose weight, right? And I also asked him, like, oh, or is it, what is it? Can you help me out? And he said, okay, all these things that you just listed, do it. It will help you. Great. But you need to work on, right now, you need to work on something immediately. And that is, and I go crazy. What is it? Tell me. And he said, you need to work on how to breathe. You need to work on your breathing. And my gut reaction was, well, I know how to breathe, right? I'm not a fish, you know, out of water. I know how to. But then I, you know, obviously I was just a trainee to him. So, okay, how do I breathe? And he said, well, there's a different method, like inhale, exhale, or inhale, exhale, kind of thing. Like you taught me different ways, and I applied it, and I realized, oh, actually, breathing differently helped me immensely when I run. I never done a marathon, but just for my exercise, it helped me a lot, even to this day. That was an experience that kind of taught me that sometimes in our lives, the key to success is really in the most basic thing. In this case, for me, was breathing better, right? Just breathe better. Believers at Colossae, we just read this passage together, asked a very similar question, not about marathon, but about their spiritual life. All right, they were asking, how can I walk better in my relationship with God? How can I run better? Because Bible uses that imagery of a marathon, actually. Also run. Or how can I mature in my relationship with God? How can I continue to grow? They were curious, and they were also very passionate, but they were very confused at the same time. Because around this time, the city of Colossae, there were false teachers teaching them that, yeah, for salvation, yes, you need Jesus. Believe in him. Good for you. Believe in him, you need it. But you want to grow deeper? You want to grow as a Christian? What you need is not only Jesus, but you also need to believe and exercise certain laws and some ceremonial laws. You have to keep them. You need Jesus and something else. Then you will grow. Jesus isn't enough, right? So they were very confused. See, this is a problem with false teaching. The problem with false teaching is not that it wants to grow deeper with Jesus. It's never the problem. The problem is that it wants it and it does it the wrong way, right? I want to grow, but the wrong way, without Jesus, apart from Jesus. Or Jesus, but something else is more important. So that's the heart of what kind of prompted Paul to write the letter to Colossians. And in chapter 1, we're in chapter 2, majority of chapter 1, Paul takes up talking about the person and the work of Jesus, mainly to say, hey, Jesus is sufficient, not only for your salvation, but for your growth, for your sanctification, for the rest of your life in your Christian walk. Jesus is sufficient for you. And now we go into chapter 2, is talking about how can we walk in Jesus, right? Like the most important thing in running was in the basic, most basic is breathing. Now Paul is saying the most important thing in our Christian life is to focus and go back to the basic continually, which is to walk with Christ. And that's what I'd like to consider with you under the heading of walking in Christ. I have three questions to consider. First is, so how does walking in Christ begin? How does it start? Second is, how can we continue to walk in Christ? And third is, well, what will be the fruit? What happens when we walk with Christ, walk in Christ? Right? So under that three headings, we're going to understand this passage together. So first question, how does walking in Christ begin? Right? Well, Paul says walking in Christ begins precisely by receiving Jesus. By receiving Jesus. Verse 6, Paul says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Right? As Christians, it's important that we recognize that our spiritual walk didn't start with us. Our Christian life is not a result of our works or some kind of efforts that we put into that God somehow was impressed. Okay, I'll make you a Christian. Now you have life in me. No, if that's the kind of the condition we have, our life, our salvation, our relationship with God will always alter, always change. This morning, I feel good about God. We just did a wonderful time with praise leaders and the praise team. Thank you for the wonderful, you know, songs. And great, I feel good. God is with me. But then the next day I fail, then no, God doesn't love me. I'm not with God. That we become the thing that, you know, the guys going through in high school guys, and I have some of the high school students in my church, and sometimes they wonder about that, like, oh, she loves me, she likes me. No, she likes me not, she likes me. It's kind of that, like that. Like, depending on how I do, depending on what I see in my life, God likes me, he likes me not, right? But what Paul wants to emphasize is that our Christian life is a sheer result of Christ first coming to us. Romans 8 says that he demonstrated his love by first dying for us while we were still sinners, right? Not that when we became the saints and good people, he saved us. No, he loved us, accepted us, so that we can be his, so that we were able to receive him, right? And now to expand a little more what it means to understand what it means by receiving Christ and walking in him, it means much more than accepting his teaching. Around in this time, in Paul's days, a lot of people, when they hear the word, the receive that we see in the Greek word, a lot of people would think that, oh, Paul is referring to a set of teachings or traditions. So he's meaning that, oh, Jesus' teaching is something that we need to receive, and we receive that. So walk in Jesus' teaching. But here, Paul, in light of the entire Colossians, in light of entire letter, but also in this context, Paul is emphasizing much more than Jesus' teaching. He's actually emphasizing Jesus' personhood, divinity, the fullness of him. He's not just a friend. He's not just a God. He's a God-man with us, right? That's who God is. So we believed in him. We don't just believe in his divinity. We don't just believe in his personhood. We believe in his fullness as Christ, right? So the question that I want to ask you is it true about your life in Christ? Do you believe the fullness of Jesus? Or is it that we're just believing in his personhood? Oh, he's a good friend. A lot of times I notice that the emphasis that we have in Christian circles is that, oh, Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is a good friend. He's a counselor. Yes, but he's not just that. He's also God. A great God, powerful God, wonderful God, right? But sometimes we emphasize a little too much on this holiness of God, then we see ourselves, okay, there's no way he will like me. That one thing that happens is that, okay, if God really sees me, if God really, really, really sees me, knowing the back of our minds that he knows us, sees us, every detail, we carry that shame as Christians, there's no way he will actually, he loved me. He'll forgive me, but I don't know if he will like me. We have that tension in our Christian life, but that balanced understanding. Yeah, he knows who I am. He knows my failures, and yet he's a God who covers the multitude of my sin and is still walking with me. So we need to understand that he, as a fullness of Jesus, we need to know who he is, right? So then now, spiritual walk starts in Christ, Jesus, Christ, the Lord, right? Fullness of him. Then now how can we continue to walk in him? That brings us to the second point. How can we continue to walk in Christ? To explain this more clearly, Paul uses four verb participles. I'm going to explain more. In verse 7, he uses four words. He says, rooted, built up, established, and abounding in thanksgiving. The first two words, rooted and built up, are the main words that he uses to describe what it means and how we can continue to walk in Christ. So I'm going to explain that. So first word is that rooted in Christ. What does that mean? A scholar, Ken Hughes, says, believers in Christ are as trees are rooted in the earth, right? So trees, regardless of how big they are, how ginormous they are, their life is always 100% dependent on the root, right? If the tree is without the root, apart from the root, there's no life. In the same way, we as believers, we can only survive, but also thrive when we're rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be rooted in him. It means that the deeper we're rooted in him, the wider and better fruit we will bear in our lives as believers, right? So we need to be rooted in him. The second is built up, being built up. Now, this is a little bit of a grammar here. Hang with me, right? This is written in present tense and passive voice, right? What does that mean? Present tense, this is an ongoing thing. We're being building project. God is doing it. It's happening right now, but we are not the subjects. We're not the ones who's doing the building work in ourselves. We're not the ones by efforts or by our just performance and all that. We're not the ones making things work, but it's God, passive. He's doing the building work in us continually. That's what's happening when it says it means built up, right? What is he doing in our lives? Well, we fail still, and yet God is still working and building his character in us. He's still reminding us and at times pointing us to the teaching of Jesus, but sometimes he's reminding us, pointing us back to the life of Jesus, crucifixion of Jesus. He's leading us so that we can be built up to be more like him. Right, to be more rooted in him. Right. So the question is, something that I want you to think about, is that are you rooted in Christ? Are you being built up in Christ? Our hearts will always be rooted in something, if not Christ. Life will always happen. Things will always happen. Right. We all know that. Right. It's not like, I thought when my wife was pregnant, it was a very excited, but at the same time, because our status back then, we didn't have insurance. We were scared to death. Okay, what's going to happen? What do we have to do? But pray or not, life happened, right? Well, she's healthy there. It made us pray, right? But if not, life still happens. And then, I don't know, it sometimes could lead us to bitterness, right? If we're not rooted in Christ, regardless of how we are rooted in him or not, life will happen, right? And if we're not rooted in Christ, let's say if we're rooted in money or career or family or, you know, whatever you name it, whatever it is that we hold on to at this time. Again, don't get me wrong, these things are all important for us in our lives. The problem is that at one point, they'll fail us, right? They'll fail us. Family could fail us. Money. I never had money so much, so I wouldn't know. But like, it will fail us, right? Health will fail us. Something that we hold on to will always, at some point, fail us. And then we will be devastated. It's hard. Of course, there are times we're successful in schooling and in a career, parenting, or being a husband, or being a wife, or friend. But if we're rooted in Christ and grounded in him, no matter what season we face in our lives, there will be proper fruit, right? Does that make sense? If we're not rooted in Christ, the fruit that we bear really depends on the seasons of our lives. God, this is a winter season. Nothing good is happening. I'm withering away. So God, we'll take a break. I'll see you in spring. Sometimes some of us are turtles. Things happen, we hide. Right. I'll see you later, God. I'll talk to you later. I need to process this. But if we're rooted in Christ, even when we are facing the hardships, the most challenging things in our lives, God, one who's working in us, will bear the fruit in us. Something holy, something godly, something great, something more like him. Right? It would lead us to Christ. We'll find hope in the midst of hopelessness. will know sufficient grace of God in our suffering. Our faith will be refined through fire. Amen? So the first two words together really remind us. They actually point us back to Jesus' teaching in John 15. Let me read you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And continues on, Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. This is a point. This is a highlight. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We're rooted in something else other than Jesus. Our life, the season, the fruit that we bear will always depend on which season we're in. When life treats us well, yeah, God is good. We will sing to God. If you think about it, even non-Christians can do that. But if we're rooted in Christ, even when life fails us, there will be a proper and a great fruit that he will bear. We can't do it. We might not even think about bearing fruit at that time. Going through a suffering, sometimes all we're thinking about is, God, just get me out of this. But even in the midst of that, when we're rooted in him, he will make fruit. And that's the promise that we get here, right? So how can we be rooted in Christ? I want to be a little bit more practical for you. Just a couple of things I want to give it to you. So again, back to the basics. We're talking about that. Walking in Christ is a basic. And about even growing deeper in Christ, we need to go back to the basics. Use the means of grace God has already given to us. So first thing is that the Bible. But not just open the Bible, don't make it a checklist, but make a room first, right? Open to God, Lord, in the morning, I need you. I cry out to you, for you are the God who hears my prayer, who hears me, and you speak to me. So Lord, I come to you. Make a room, make a time, make a moment to be alone with God in word and in prayer. And always, I believe this is an important thing as we come to the prayer. Come to God in prayer in the context of his love for you. Right? Sometimes we go to prayer, we think that, okay, I haven't prayed in a while, so what do I need to apologize first? I didn't go to church, I didn't sing to God so much. What do I say? I'm sorry? I noticed that in my upbringing, a lot of times I just start by saying sorry. God, I'm sorry. And even when I felt like, okay, there's nothing to apologize, but still I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Yes, no. Come to God in the context of his love. That will lead you to repentance, but not out of the religious checklist kind of mindset, right? God loves me, and I'm secure in him. I come to him because he receives me. He loves me, so I come to him. Right? Second, this is something I want to highlight, is that be a part of a healthy, supporting community. Or perhaps I could say make a healthy, a supporting community. Be that community for one another. Paul Tripp, in our days, his nickname is Pastor's Pastor. He says, quote, if you want to be a tool of God's grace, if you want to serve God, if you want to walk with God, you need to be committed to nurturing that grace in each other's lives. No Christian walks alone. No man lives alone. Nobody lives alone as Christians. And in doing that, you and I will find the grace of God intended in these practices. Is God whose work in us, right? Let me just share my story a little bit about my experience in my community. Is like I said, I grew up in Korea, so we didn't have a proper visa we were on student visa for a long time. And my church graciously did the green card process, but a lot happened. It was supposed to, initially my lawyer, I think, said it might take like 2 years, 1.5 years. Trump administration, their policy was just by not responding in, right? So that happened, and COVID happened, and when the inspector came to my church, my pastor was on a surgery table, so he wasn't able to meet them. So I got a letter they intended to deny because, I don't believe in you, right? So going through all that, I was very stressed. Yes, it kept taking me back to revisit, to ask the question, am I rooted in Christ? Am I built in Christ? Am I rooted in Christ? Is Christ really my God? Do I really trust him? Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. Yes. But at the same time, what really saved us and protected us from all kinds of devastation and worries and anxieties was our community. And I have to say, like, I wasn't all that excited about going to a community group in the middle of the week on Wednesday, Thursday. I'm tired. And my wife, before we had a baby, will always close to argue, right? Do you want to go? And my wife is tired too, like, I don't know. And then I was, well, we can skip. And she goes, you're the devil, right? And okay, all right, we'll go. I go, even at the entrance door, I'm looking at her. Are you sure about this? Yeah, okay. And then we'll go there and we'll hang out. And as we hang out and as we talk, and as we go over the questions that we have, this, you know, discussion questions, something comes out. What comes out? Something heavy in my heart. And I say, I hate this process. I hate waiting. I don't know where God is. I don't know if he's with me. I was a pastor too. I'm still a pastor. And I would share all that. And my community, they will receive me. They were just, yeah, man, we'll pray for you. And they would just vent sometimes. We sometimes share our frustrations. Sometimes we talk about challenges and hardships we have in our lives. But then the consistent gatherings we had as brothers and sisters in Christ really, really protected us, right? And going to the small groups, right? Whether you're introverted or extroverted, right? Over the years, now I look back, yeah, that was God's grace through the family of God. I think it was Praise Leader who mentioned it earlier that, you know, this is not just a result of a luck. This is not what we're not just here to sing, right? We're here as a family, right? This is a family God meant in his sovereignty. And God wants to use this community for your life as individuals, right? And I want to encourage you to make room for Christ, but also really make a use of this community. Now, third, I gotta keep going. Third is, so what will be the fruit? When we walk in Christ, what's the result? What's the fruit? So the fruit of our walk in Christ is found in the last two verb participles, right? The establishment of faith and abounding in thanksgiving, right? Now, as a result of being rooted and built up in Christ, it says first, we'll be established in the faith. And another word for establishment in Greek is validation or confirmation. Right? We'll be validated, we'll be confirmed. As we continue to walk in Christ, rooted and built up, it will only confirm and validate that Jesus is sufficient for our walk with him. Amen? He is sufficient in our lives for our spiritual maturity. There's no other truth or thing that we need besides Jesus. He's all that we need for our maturity. The things that he gives us is the thing that we need for our growth, and we're complete in Christ. That's the whole theme of Colossians. Christ is sufficient, not only for your salvation, but for everything else in your spiritual walk. He is enough. And as we continue to be establishing the faith, we'll walk the walk and fight the good fight. The fruit that we'll bear is thankfulness, right? And consistent, constant thankfulness. Gratitude is a really good test for, as individuals, it's a really good test for our spiritual maturity, our spiritual health, right? Because gratitude, we can only have that by looking upward, right? So that's why Satan, the devil, and the ways of the world always point us to look within or look around or look elsewhere, but not upward. When Satan tempts us to look within, it's the song that we sing, I look upward, Lord. Right? Only when we look upward, we can say, Lord, I trust you. I was singing this part, as you know, I grew up singing this, Lord of heaven and earth. I don't think I've ever understood that line so clearly like this time, actually. Because I grew up like, heaven and earth, what does that mean? This time I was singing it, yes. All heaven and earth, God, you are God. You are with me, and you are good, right? And I'm grateful. Is your life perfect? I don't think anyone would actually agree to that. No. Our baby is healthy. Yeah. That was one thing that we pray for. Towards the end of our pregnancy, my wife was considered as high-risk pregnancy. So we were worried. Every week, she had to go to see a doctor. She had draw blood, and we're anxious. We're worried. Yes, baby comes out, another problem comes, right? It's something we always have problems in our lives. But when we look upward, that's something only God can do. When we're being built by the work of the Spirit in us, He will lead us to look upward. We give thanks to God, right? Then how can we be thankful, grateful, continually? Go back to the basics. That's all I can say. That's all I see in our text. Jesus Christ, always go back to Him. He is a God-man who so loved us, so loves you. He came in a human flesh. He lived a life we should have lived. And He took the cross that was ours. And He rose again. Did you ever think about that? He rose again, not for His sake, not to say, gotcha, I'm risen. No, He didn't rise again. The resurrection wasn't about that. Resurrection was for us. So that He's the firstborn, He's the first resurrection, that whoever believes in Him now will have eternal life in Him. If He didn't resurrect, there's no resurrection for the rest of us. But because He resurrected, now we have the living hope. We can sing the living hope in the midst of darkness and the hopelessness that we face in our lives. Go back to Jesus. See what He did. And see what He has done and how good He is. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you in our time. Let us walk in Christ. And I want to encourage you. And if it's any challenge, I want to challenge you, exhort you to walk in Christ. How do you do that? Go back to Jesus. Be rooted and built up in Him. See the fullness of Him. Not just a person, not just a God, God-man with us. Walk that walk with Him, and He will make us finish the line for His glory. Amen? Let's pray together. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promise. And thank You for the certainty of our life in Christ, that when we are in You, we are secure and we are safe. Lord, I pray that each one of our lives, I pray that You will continue to do Your work among us. Now, whatever the challenge is that we brought to this place, I pray that You will bless Your people, remind them of Your presence, remind them of Your love, but more than anything, would You point us back to Jesus. By the power of the Spirit, I pray that You make things clear and clearer in our hearts, in our minds, as we continue our journey with You, Lord. Thank You for this work that You are doing in us. Knowing the worst of us, You still choose to love us, choose to be our God. You're pleased to be our God. Lord, help us to grow in maturity, to also desire You more than anything in our lives. Lord, we will continue our worship and we'll participate in communion. Lord, in all that we do, Lord, help us to remind us that the communion is about Your bloodshedding work for us, so that we can be brothers and sisters to one another. So we offer our time to You, Lord. Lead us. So we entrust the rest of our time in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.